This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network studio here in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Oh, well, this is going to be a great day. I have two guests in the studio. Well, no, I have three. I have a horse, one of these comfort horses. You know, he could go on an airplane with you. Yes, really. And he's right here in the studio. So if you're looking at us on YouTube, here he is. And his name is Elliot. He is plushy and he is soft. And he's much better than a live one if you're going to take him on an airplane. And I am so happy that his mommy, Sue Greenberg, is here. Hi, Sue.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, well, this is wonderful. And thank you for bringing it. You're Elliot. He's a plush toy. And when I say plush, he is absolutely so soft. And it's absolutely, I can see people hugging him. They should give one to everybody on the airplane. And then everyone will just calm down, people. Calm down with Elliot. And also in the studio, it's nice to welcome here somebody who's, as I've been telling all of you, you never know. You have a book in you. You might have a book that you've put away for 20 years and pull out suddenly, and there it is, and you're an author. And D.L. Huntington is here, and I'm so happy to welcome him, and we're going to be talking about his book, The Cost of Living. But before I start with them, it's so nice to talk to you, Dan. I'm so happy you're here.
Well, thank you, Patsy with a Z. I'm happy to be here.
Okay.
I've listened to you many times on the radio, and I just never thought I'd be sitting here.
Well, it's exciting that you're here. And I just want to remind everyone that Valentine's Day is coming up, and it is really wonderful for all of us to have a day to celebrate the people that we love, which we should be doing every day, but Valentine's is particularly nice, and it always brings to my mind poetry. And so I'm going to have, on Thursday, I'm going to have a poetry day with three acclaimed poets, and I'm so excited that they will be joining me, and that's Kim Dower, Jim Lamb, and L.L. Buckhat. And we will be hearing wonderful poems from them and talking about the joys of poetry. Because as I say at the beginning of the program, this is a program for people not only who are writing, but who are dreaming of writing. And sometimes you just need to start. And one of the nice ways to start is with a poem. You have time. You still have time before Valentine's Day. Just sit down and write a poem, and you will find that joy that I talk about on paper. There is nothing quite as exciting as when you finally put your words on paper and you sort of lean back and you say, "Hey, I wrote that. I can write." And so, start writing a Valentine's Day poem for someone you love. You know, it doesn't have to be a wife or a husband. It could be, you know, a niece, a nephew, your grandchildren. Write a poem, and that's a way to start writing. And boy, both of my guests, they started writing, and they didn't know. Sue, did you know? I mean, your background is as a pediatric nurse. Did
Correct.
You ever imagine that you would become an author and writing a real, I'm going to tell you people, her book about Elliot, her horse, are just beautiful. She's done wonderful production value. She's come out with these wonderful plushies. I'm really impressed.
Thank you so much. It means a lot. It really does. Thank you.
Well, you know, it's always difficult when you're an author and you don't have an agent, you're not working with a big publishing house, to come out with quality children's books, because you want good quality, and Right. You certainly have managed to do that.
Right, thank you, I did. I have like heavy pages, 100-pound pages, good quality.
Exactly. Now, so let's go back and tell us Tell us about Elliot.
Oh, my God. He's so cute. He's a real horse.
Yeah.
He was born March 25th. He'll be 3 this March. I have him, his mom, some of his brothers and sisters. And he's always getting in trouble. I have a big water bucket. He, like, tips the water out and puts the bucket on his head and runs around. He's already got out of the barn twice already. He keeps opening. We had to put extra latches. I don't know how he does it. He opens the gates. He opens everything. He lets his brothers out. He's been bad. And he has all these huge balls, real big balls, like 3 times as big as him. He lays on them and he pops them. But he's like a playground. He has, like, balls and toys, and he's always playing with something. A lot of very mischievous little boy, but he's adorable. And he gives kisses, too, all the time.
Well, so you have this delightful horse, and you decided to put him down. You were taking a lot of photos of him, I think.
Right. One of my friends, the one that did the illustrations, Lisa Bohart, she's a beautiful illustrator, she said, write a children's book. And I said, I can't write a children's book. She goes, just get pictures of Elliot, write something up. So I had everything rhyme, and she did the beautiful illustrations. Had an editor edited it and she had me, you know, go to her publisher or the person that prints it, and they came out really good. So I was pretty impressed with her helping me a lot too.
Well,
she guided me.
Well, she guided you, but when you said it with rhymes, it didn't start that way.
No, I wrote the whole children's book with Elliot's pictures, and I took my little nephew Grant to play miniature golf. And everything was rhymes. And I said, oh, my God. And he was reading it. And he was like 8 years old. And he said he loved the rhymes. And I threw my whole book away. And I started over. So everything in both book 1 and 2 rhymes. So, and children can memorize it easier, too.
Yes.
And me, too.
And because it makes it fun reading for people who read the books,
right,
to the children. And for the children, I think so often rhyme, learning that the sound of words and how they rhyme and how they go together really make a difference in their ability later on to read.
Right. That's so correct.
And I want to say that what I like about your books is that they're not dumbed down. She uses real words. It's not, you know, just simple words. And she does it so beautifully. You really are, I mean, when you think about it, so many years, you're a pediatric nurse, you're around children, but you never thought that you would write.
Never.
And I think you have written these books at a level equal to any of the major authors that I've spoken to. And I have spoken to many, many children's authors who are selling millions of books. And so I'm so impressed with with your work.
You're making me cry. Thank you. Well, seriously, it's one of the best compliments I've ever gotten. Seriously, thank you so much. Really.
Well, I'm going to come back to you in a minute because I want to talk about a particular way that perhaps you might turn to, because, as I said, it's not easy to get children, particularly children's books. You know, it's easy to publish a regular paperback book, a regular book on Amazon. But there's a special work that has to go into developing a children's classy book, and you've done it. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But first, I want to turn to Dan and D.L. Huntington. I like that. Oh, that's a nice name.
Well, you can call me Dan, but D.L. just...
He's so cute.
Yeah, I'm gonna
I don't even know why I said D.L. It just sounded good.
Well, it does. You know, it does. Well, you know, there's some millionaire Huntingtons, billionaire Huntingtons. You're not related to any of those.
If I am, they've disowned me because I've never heard from any of them.
Darn it. Well, you know, there's some Huntingtons right. that are like zillionaires. But you never, who knows, you might become a best-selling author. So you know, yeah. Then they'll come and say, oh, yeah, you're a long-lost relative. Yeah. So, Dan, your book is called The Cost of Living. And I have, as I was saying, because as a girl, I like journalists, and I always, you know, Lois Lane, you know, from Superman, I always thought, you know, Lois Lane was the coolest person, and so I've always had a particular fondness for books about journalists, and so tell us here about your book, and I love the name of the girl, so tell us about this book?
The girl's name is Rhonda Rhodes. She just graduated from journalism school. She's just full of enthusiasm. She gets an assignment to cover the homeless people. She unwittingly discovers a diabolical cult that is being very dangerous to the homeless community. But in her discovering it, it became very dangerous to her. Her life actually became in jeopardy. And being a journalist, this cult decided there was probably time to shut her up. So there's an underworld executioner, you might say, hitman involved. His name's the Magician, because he makes people disappear.
Uh-huh.
And so then she clashes with the commissioner of the 71st Precinct, who says, well, I'll check into this, but give me their last name, address, and phone number of these homeless people that are missing. And she thinks that's quite sarcastic. Homeless people. She said, what am I supposed to say? This dumpster behind McDonald's? That's their last known address. But anyway, the thing I love about it is no matter how much you disagree with each other, these two people with two totally philosophies came together and literally became platonic friends when they began to listen instead of talk and understand each other, which I think we could all learn from that. If you listen more than you speak, you'll probably end up wiser. But there's a lot of action. A lot of people think maybe the cost of living right away. Oh, is that a financial book? That shows the amateur thinking I have, the cost of living. But the deal is, if you're a billionaire, let's say, one of those Huntingtons, remember?
Yeah.
If you're a billionaire and you need a kidney, no lines, no waiting, because there's a diabolical syndicate that can cover whatever you need, and you can even pre-order. Rhonda discovers this, which puts her life in serious danger.
And she doesn't have Superman to come in like Lois Lane did.
No.
But she's clever. She's smart. You've developed a really nice character with her.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Well, you know, so we're talking about a book. Now, you have had many careers. You did many things. One of the most fascinating, I think, was that you were a prison chaplain for many years.
Yes.
And so you had this background, and this book had been like in the drawer for a while?
This book was in the drawer for 20 years. You talked earlier about poetry. When I was a little kid, I loved to write poetry. We would relate pretty well with your children's book because I always did everything in rhyme. Uh-huh. In my middle years, I started writing songs. I wrote country songs, Christian songs, love songs, whatever. But I never wrote it. Now there is a word for, I've never written a serious fiction thriller. But this story has been in my head, and after 20 years of retiring three times and deciding I don't want to wake up every morning and just use up oxygen, I pulled it out of the file and rewrote it. I had to get rid of pagers and beepers and pay phones and all the things that we had 20 years ago.
But add in a little internet or something, you know, because it is funny how things have changed.
It really did change. I didn't realize how drastically things have changed until I had to go rewrite this book. But I loved writing it. I've got excellent reviews from three pretty well-known.
Yes.
I think Blue Ink is one of them. Clarion, the big one. Kirkus Review.
Yeah, Kirkus was very nice.
They all gave me some compliments, so that's
great.
Helpful.
That's great. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, Kirkus said, you know, first novel is fast-paced and action-packed with characters that seem pulled out of a spy movie. And they like The Magician. You know, this is a really, really nice compliment from them. They, mm-hmm. you know, when they say something nice like that, it's really great. And so
it was always made me feel good when I would look on Amazon and see reviews from people. Some of my friends did reviews, but total strangers. And almost to a person, they said, this should be a movie instead of a book.
Yes. Well, this is, you know, I was a screenwriter. And so that's one of the things that happens to me when I get a book that really grabs me. It's usually because it is a visual book. After, you know, 4 or 5 pages, I forget I'm reading and I see it in my head. And they are right. It would make a wonderful movie. So,
thank you.
As I said, I like the character of Rhonda. It's funny. When I first got it, I said, "Well, you know, there aren't very many girls named Rhonda anymore. You don't hear that name." Really. But it's sort of like Mabel. Mabel is coming back, and I've suddenly I know I never would have thought. You know, 20 years, I would never have thought any Mabel would ever come back. But then I think a few Hollywood actresses named their kids Mabel.
Yeah, that's true.
And so now, recently I just met a young woman, and she said, I said, what is the baby's name? And she said, Mabel. And I'm like, you know, this is so my great-grandmother, my grandmother's era that but it's cute. And I like Rhonda. And
when I was in Miami in my sales and marketing life, I had a salesperson down there that I had just met. Her name was Rhonda, and she was strong and had her own strong will. And I liked her attitude and her personality. So I said, this is going to be my Rhonda. And her name was Rhonda. That's how I got the name.
Yeah, well, it's one of the things when you're writing a book, you want something to be memorable, that people will remember. And once they read this, because there aren't very many books with Rhonda, they will remember it. They'll relate it. And are we going to be seeing more of Rhonda? Are you carrying on the story?
Well, right now I'm writing a book based pretty much on a true story, something that I lived through back when I was a young kid. Grew up, first time I ever had a job, I was 20 years old, worked at a psychiatric hospital for children. And I just came to love this one little kid, and he had a tragic life. And so that's what I'm doing now. Totally opposite of this friction thriller. This is kind of like based loosely on a very true story. I had to expand it more to make it a book, but I don't know if I'll do another Rhonda book. I can only think of one thing at a time, so I'm in the middle of thing I'm doing now. So,
but isn't it exciting that once you start writing and have that joy, that it just keeps you going?
It is, and you know, writers all say this, there's a story in everybody, and I believe there is. The best way I get things is I love to walk. The Fitbit thing here. Uh-huh. I walk 20,000 steps a day. And when you're walking alone, so many things go through your mind that would really fit a book. So I run in the house, grab a piece of paper, and scribble down what I just thought so I didn't forget it. And my wife does shorthand, so she just writes it down quickly, too. So.
Okay, well, we have to mention her because there's your wife sitting in the corner listening to you. And it's so nice that you're here.
Thank you.
And your name is
Susan.
Susan.
And Susan, excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but Susan is the heroine in both of my books.
Uh-huh.
Because Susan is the heroine
Susan
in my life.
In your life. And I can see, and she typed every word.
Yes, she did. I can't type all thumbs, can I?
And well, see, that's what I'm telling people. You don't have to. You can write a book without actually writing. Nowadays, you can use Dragon to dictate the book, and if you have a wonderful Susan in your life or as somebody who will do it for you, type it up. So there is a book in everybody, and isn't that one of the joys?
That's true.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't
I wrote this on a legal pad.
Well,
longhand. And this poor kid can't even read my writing, but she got through it.
You know, one of my favorite authors, and she's been on my program many times, and she invited me to her home. I went, she gave a tea party because she writes historical fiction. And one of her books, of course, very famous, Henry VIII by Margaret George. And so I went to her house, and she gave me a tea party, and she did the whole thing with the tea and the cucumber sandwiches. It was absolutely delightful. I was so thrilled. And she was talking about how she wrote her book, Henry VIII, which is 862 pages, I think, by hand. So So she wrote it by hand, and of course she still has it preserved, which is wonderful. Some you know, it's just wonderful to do that. So yeah, you don't need a computer. You don't even need to be able to type. Anybody can write a book, and so that's one of the fun things of the whole process of being an author, is just getting out there and doing it. And I'm so thrilled. I mean, one of the reasons I do this program, I love to talk to best-selling authors. I've had so many, 9 Mystery Writer of America Grandmasters on my program, over 250 New York Times best-selling authors, many famous celebrities. But I think one of the things that gives me the greatest joy is to have authors who are just starting out, who are just beginning this whole process, and just jumping into this exciting world of being an author. So I'm really happy that both of you are here. And I love to continue promoting books. One of the things you'll discover is that you have these release dates, you have this initial sort of excitement, and then it's forgotten. You don't get publicity. And the key to selling is to get publicity. So what I do is, we have here on the program, I have Rita Moreau, who is an absolutely delightful person, and she does these book promos that we call the book buzzes, and she does them for the books that we love, because we play them over and over long after a book has been published. And so now we're going to play one just before the commercial. We're going to play one for and this one is for Carol J. Perry, who is a wonderful author, and here it is.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest book buzz. Late Checkout, a Witch City mystery book, number 9, by author Carol J. Perry, who was born in Salem, Massachusetts on Halloween Eve, and that magical city serves as the backdrop for her Witch City mystery series. A dead ball player means foul play in Salem. Here's the buzz. Field reporter Lee Baird is not happy that her hours are being cut back at Witch TV. Although it is nice to spend more time volunteering with Aunt Ibby, a research librarian at Salem's main branch. But Lee's least favorite task is going up to the stacks, a spooky, seldom frequented upper section of the library. On this day, she has good reason to be afraid. She finds a dead man, surrounded by hundreds of scattered books and torn out pages. Her police detective beau, Pete Mondello, is soon on the scene, and the deceased is identified as a former minor league baseball player and ex-con named Wee Willie Wallace, who hasn't been seen in Salem for 20 years. With help from her friend Rivers Tarot Reading, her clairvoyant cat Orion, and Lee's own psychic gifts, she steps up to the plate to catch the killer who took the old ball player out of the game. Fans of Witch City Mysteries, this had all the twists and turns you expect in this series, and all the characters you have come to love, including Lee's wonderful cat, Orion. Another entertaining story from author Carol J. Perry, Late Checkout will keep readers guessing until the very twisted and eerie end.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money? earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my two guests in the studio here, Sue Greenberg, and we're talking about her wonderful horse, Elliot, and Elliot is here, right here, sitting here. Oh, just it's just a joy to look at him. And D.L. Huntington, who pulled a book out of his drawer, and 20 years later, here he is, a published author with wonderful reviews on Kirkus. So we're going to talk to both of them. I just want to say a special hello first to my son. I just noticed he has 24 degrees in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm not going to rub it in that we're going to be 80 degrees. You know, my son was born in Houston, raised in Florida, so he was not used to cold weather, to put it mildly. And it was so funny when he moved to Madison, and after the first snowfall, he calls me and says, "You know, Mom, snow is heavy." I thought, yeah, duh, it is. But so it's 24 degrees, so I'm just sending him some warm hugs because he needs them today. It's wonderful. I don't know, you guys both original Floridians, or where do you come from?
Well, I can relate to your son. I lived in Minneapolis, Minnesota for 12 years, and then New York and Pennsylvania and Ohio. I got moved around a lot and ended up in Florida and said, that's it. I'm staying. I don't care.
So anybody from who lived in Minneapolis knows that snow is heavy.
Oh, my gosh. Snow's heavy. It's cold.
It looks so nice, you know, in the movies. It looks so soft and sweet. And then somebody gives you a shovel and says, do it. You learn quickly. So he's up there at university. So I just want to say a special hello to him. And you are...
I'm from Rochester, New York.
So also northern.
Whole country.
Yes. Okay. And we're all happy to be here in Florida.
Yeah.
Glorious,
gorgeous.
Clearwater, Florida. There is no place better. I'm telling you, it is just... We are so lucky to be here, and
it's beach weather right now.
It's beach weather. It's wonderful weather, and even when we have a few cold days, it's nice just to take out our sweaters and stuff, but we cannot complain because we are very, very lucky. Very lucky. And of course, with horses, it's nice to have my brother, who is in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan right now, I think they've already had 68 inches of snow this year.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's not a great place for horses.
No, Elliot had a bath yesterday. I spent like 15 minutes, did his tail. He was so clean. Afterwards, I gave him his hay. Not that little thing did. He went out there and rolled. Every part of his body was full of mud. I was like, oh my God. Only me.
So have you always been a horse person?
Yes. I had my first horse at 12 years old. My dad used to have race horses. So that's how I got involved with it. But I never had race horses. I had more quarter horses, riding horses, show. My horse won the world in Oklahoma like 12 years ago in halter. So it was pretty exciting.
So it's just a wonderful part of your life.
It's part of my life. I do 4-H groups, which is really exciting too. And I have a 4-H group with the kids, and they all show their horses. So it's exciting.
Oh, that's wonderful. And as I said, now you've come out with really delightful books.
Thank you.
And a wonderful, wonderful stuffed animal, which, by the way, I'm going to mention to everybody again, because this also came up with an author. Please make sure that you've done the right copyrights and trademarks for your material, because this is your intellectual property and it is valuable. And if you haven't done it right, if you never know when you're going to run into problems. And one of our sponsors here is Bill Larson of Larson and Larson, and he can help people with any of their questions about, you know, trademarks, about copyrights, because when you start getting into the area of, I'm sure you'll have T-shirts and other things. You have to really protect yourself so nobody can steal it. You know, this is important. But we were talking about, you know, you don't have an agent. Now, when, you know, all authors are facing a different problem, but particularly children's authors, you need somebody who specializes in children's books. Now, there's really only one. There are lots of authors who do it, but there's one really great agent who is just fantastic, and her name is Andrea Brown. She is in California, in San Francisco. Now, one of the things is she was an agent in New York City, one of the top agents for children's books and young adult books in New York City, and she decided she wanted to go and live in California. Now, most big New York agents, I mean, they'll never leave the city because that's where everybody is, and that's they have to always be dealing with the publishers. And Andrea Brown is one of the few, I mean, really few big agents who could actually pick up and move all the way to San Francisco. And people at the time thought, oh, she's just going to lose her client. She's not, you know, she's out of, she's not having lunch with the publishers anymore, you know. But she's so big and so important, and her word is so important in the industry that she can just pick up the phone to any publisher and say, this author deserves to be published. So she has, twice a year, she holds a seminar, a sort of weekend retreat, and her name is Andrea Brown. They're at Big Sur in California. The big one, her biggest one, is during the Christmas break weekend, after Christmas Day, but, you know, there in that sort of period. And you have to really register 6 months in advance, at least 6 months in advance, because she is in such high demand. And the reason is when at her seminars, she also has other major agents and people from Hollywood who come to as part of her team. And so if people are looking to really connect with an agent, I think for a children's author, Andrea Brown is the best.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so something to look into. But again, she's in demand, and registration really starts, I think, in May. You have to register early. You just can't get in. But she has a summer program, which isn't quite as big, so you can look into that too.
Could I insert something about the children's book? I'm thinking back of my kids who are all grown now.
Right.
One's an airline pilot. They're in their, like, 50s. But when they were children, I realized that they and some of their friends that lived in these books, and they started early, even little illustration books like this, it gives them a love for reading, and if they miss that, they may never get a love for reading.
Exactly.
And so it's so rewarding for you to write the children's books.
Thank you
so much.
I
think it's wonderful. I'm not a child, but I'd like to read it.
Okay, that's fine.
We'll trade books.
And you will enjoy it. And the nice thing, you also have a lovely website for...
Right. It's ElliottsHorseTales.com, and you spell Elliot, ElliottS, horse, Tails, TAILS.com.
And you have, not only do you have beautiful photos, you also have little videos.
Little videos. And a few weeks ago, Elliot and I, we won the Everyday Hero. So that was pretty exciting from Bay News 9, because we're going to, going Thursday to bring books and plushies to the children at the hospital, Tampa General, and all children's. So I'm real excited about that, too.
This is a wonderful thing that you're doing. The children will be so excited. So that's happening on?
Thursday. We're doing it Thursday, the day before Valentine's Day. And I'm actually going to read to the children at Tampa General, because that was my hospital. So they said I can go read to them and bring them books. And I'm bringing a little Elliot plushies so they can cuddle when they're sick in the hospital. Just makes them feel better, you know. And they can put their little books under their pillows and...
Well, you know, I'm thinking about that. Uh-huh. If people wanted to buy one of the Elliot plushes, mm-hmm. and give it and donate it to the hospital, to either that hospital, there are all sorts of hospitals, or to to any of these organizations, how would they contact you?
On my website, and there's my phone number too, and they can order it on my website, and I would just.
And what is that?
It's ElliottsHorsetails.com.
ElliottsHorsetails.com. Go to the website. You can order. That would be just a wonderful, wonderful gift to give to somebody, to any child in your life, or to donate. And I'm sure you could send it straight to the hospital or their choice. So, like to Shriners Hospital. My goodness.
They can just give me the address and I can send it right to them.
And you can send it right to them. It would be just perfect. This is a gift that will be absolutely treasured. And you've gotten quality work on this plush. They're not always so...
No, they're all custom made. They're so soft and cuddly.
They are. I know. Really, they are comfort horses.
Yeah. And the children like it because they can hold Elliot and read his little story.
Yeah.
And take him to the doctor. And they take him to some little children. Some mom said that her child takes him to school every day in his little backpack.
Yeah. I can see. You know, people have these comfort animals they take on the plane. They're supposed to be, you know, I don't know. There was really somebody actually took a real horse, right? Did you see that?
I saw that, a miniature horse.
A miniature horse. And I thought, oh, my God.
Oh God. My.
It's bad enough. When I flew to Bouchercon, there was a man who had not, he didn't have, I wish he would have had actually sitting next to me. I wish he would have had a comfort horse. It would have been better. What he had was a comfort pizza with garlic. Now, this was one of these...
Did he share it?
Oh, no. We were so happy. There was this other young girl had the window seat. I had the aisle seat. And right up to the end, the middle seat was empty. And we sort of looked at each other. We were really happy. Like, good. We don't have to be too close to each other. We didn't say a word to each other. We just wanted to... You know, it's a morning flight. We wanted a morning flight. Where did he find in, actually it was California Pizza, I think, a garlic pizza. And the guy comes on and he sits between us with his this is not comfort. Get a horse. Get Elliot. Please don't go on an airplane in the morning with a garlic pizza.
That's funny.
So, you know, people are strange sometimes. Now, turning to Dan. Dan, you wouldn't take a garlic pizza on a plane, would you?
I wouldn't take a garlic pizza anywhere.
Okay, good.
Pepperoni, sausage, that sort of thing, but garlic, no.
No, please. Yes, please. So, you know, getting back to you and this, you know, when you had a story in you for so many years and then to find it coming out and having this fun of it, this is a thrill, huh?
The biggest thrill I ever had was the first day I went to the mailbox and took this book out and looked at it, and it said, D.L. Huntington, The Cost of Living. I'm going, wow. Uh-huh. You know, the first day you ever pick up your first book.
It's exciting.
There's just no feeling that you can, no way to explain it. It's amazing.
It is, and that's why I'm telling all of you out there, it's the beginning of the year, and you can start writing, and by the end of the year, you could have an entire book, you know, and it's so thrilling. You get a sense of accomplishment, and you also have to learn a lot. You learn a lot about yourself. You learn a lot about writing, about words and how to use them.
One page a day is a 365-page book in a year.
Yeah, exactly.
One page a day.
One page. That's all it takes. Yeah. And of course, your mind is expanded because you suddenly are more aware of words, how to use words. Right. And you might read more just to have all those words in you. Right. Did you find that you were reading children's books?
Before I wrote my book, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes, I have nieces and nephews, and I was reading to them all the time.
So you're aware. And Dan, had you been a big reader before? Do you just...
I traveled all over the country, and I spent almost every night in a hotel or on an airplane for several years. So I went through everything. At first, everything from John Grisham, and then everything from somebody else, and then Anne Rice. Yes. But since I've retired for the third time, I'm more involved in writing my own, and I haven't read as much at all lately.
But it's good to have this background, to have the words, and to just be able to see them on paper. And then once you start, and for all of you out there, you have a book in you. Everyone has at least one book, and it might be a children's book, it might be a thriller, it might be a cookbook, it might be a book of poetry, it might be a memoir about your crazy uncle. You never know until you start. And that's the key. Just sit down and start and have fun with it.
And sometimes your readers can give you advice, because a couple of the kids that actually bought my books, they're calling me and they're writing me and they say, can you do this in your third book? Can Elliot do this? And it's cute. They're giving me ideas, which is really, it's super cute.
Okay. And then now, of course, what happens, you write your book and it's so thrilling and it's so exciting. But now you have to put on another hat. If you have your writer's hat, but now you have to be, of course, both of you, because you independently publish, you've had to be your own editor, hopefully getting feedback from other people around you. Do either one of you belong to writers' groups?
Yes.
You belong to a writers' group?
Pinellas Writers Group in Largo.
That's a great group, a wonderful group, and many fine writers have come out of there.
You know, I have to say this. I haven't been there in a long time because the publisher did an editorial review, and it got to the point where he was telling me that I should do something. Then when I'd go to the writers group, it's sort of like so many chefs will spoil the brew. I sort of had to kind of settle on one, but I'm going back there now.
It's good. Because
they're an excellent group.
They are an excellent group.
And I'll join there. Just give me the information.
Nice people.
I will send you, Sue, some information here about one of the local authors who specializes in children's books, Jackie Minetti. She is an absolutely fantastic author, and she knows a lot about publishing here and promoting books in Florida. And I will connect you with her, because Minetti, One Small Spark, and just she has written so many wonderful books. And so I will connect you with her. Because now you have to market. And
That's where I'm at right now, marketing.
Exactly. You're in the marketing stage. So you already have your website. Mm-hmm. You have wonderful. It's a really great website with lots of photos. I love these little videos. Dan, you haven't gotten a website.
The next thing on my agenda is a website as quickly as I can get it done. Because I know how important it is. In our business, we had a website and it was invaluable.
Yeah, well, that's, and writing a book, being an author, is a business. It's just like if you have a cupcake bakery. You have the bakery, but you might have the recipes, but you have to have everything that goes along with it, including the signage, the advertising, the marketing, and all of that. And that's the big, even for major authors, the ones published by the big five, nowadays, they don't get the kind of support that they used to in the old days. Mary Higgins Clark, who I will miss greatly, and I loved her, and she was a guest on the program many times. And she one time told me, in the old days, when she was, in her sort of the big prime of her life in her 30s and 40s, they were sending her on book tours and they would pay for everything, put her in the best hotels. They would send somebody with her to travel to take care of everything, her luggage and this and that. And she was, really treated like royalty. But over the years, the publishers started doing less and less. And today, authors are very lucky if they get a five-city book tour. I think Mary Higgins Clark used to get like 20 cities and everything, first class. So authors, even the most famous, have to do a lot for themselves today. And so you guys have to do that. Now, have either one of you yet been involved in, going to a convention for your particular subject, or...
I've been going to the schools with Elliot, reading to the schools.
Okay, so you're doing it on a low level, local level.
Local, right.
Yeah, and you're going to have to expand because you've...
I want to,
You have to. So, okay, so Jackie Minetti is going to help you. And we'll put you in contact, and she will help you. She knows all of the ins and outs of the children's book world. And with you, Dan, now what have you done?
I've had one book signing at 321 Bookstore in Tyrone Square Mall. I'm really looking for independent bookstores in the Florida area that will support local authors. I understand there's a few around here. I just don't know who they are yet, and I'll have to research it.
Okay. Well, I will also send you some information about some of the groups that you might want to join. One of the things, people, if you are interested in you know, finding out some information, you can go to my webpage, which is radio-joyonpaper. I have a form there you can fill in to ask questions. You can ask questions both. Some of the questions that I get are for Bill Larson of Larson & Larson about intellectual property. But you can ask me questions and like about a group that you might join, and I will be happy to send you a link so that you can find a group that is just perfect for you. Of course, one of the things as you're doing, Sue, you're talking to schools, but you want to expand and talk not just to schools, you want to talk to mothers' groups, you want to talk to larger groups. And so this is part of being a writer. You have to become a speaker as well. And, of course, doing a show like this helps because now you can start saying, you know, I was on radio. If I was on radio, I can get up in front of a group of, you know, 30 women at a book club or at some kind of a meeting. But find women's clubs for you, Sue. Find women's clubs. Find a lot of women's clubs. And just start making... Every other week, you should be speaking at a group of at least 30 people and getting out there. Now, do you both have mailing lists?
No.
Mailing lists?
Mailing lists? No.
No. No. No mailing lists. Everybody you meet, everybody you talk to, you should put on a mailing list. You need to have a mailing list so that you can send out information.
Okay.
Now, this is so funny. I get this all the time, that people don't have a mailing list. Anybody you meet, have a little form. Say, fill in the, you know, would you like me to send you and update you on what's happening with my book? That's all you have to do. Most people are more than willing to hear about you. Once you, are you both on Facebook?
Yes, social media.
Social media.
All of it.
There's some question of whether it's worth any giveaways on Facebook. I'm not sure about it. But definitely, once you have a mailing list of like 1,000 people, 2,000 people, then you can send out mass mailings with an option for a gift. You can give them a gift. You can send them a personal message. You must have a mailing list. Today is your day to start a mailing list. And in 3 months from now, you should have 1,000 people on your mailing list. That's what you have to do.
Just through email, right? Emailing them, right?
Yeah, email. You'll do a mass mailing like with the MailChimp or something. But it's a way that people know what's happening. They are reminded about, just like we do the book buzzes here, to remind people, there's a book out there that you should read. A MailChimp mass mailing that you do once a month or every 2 months reminds people. Well, they forget. People forget. They'll forget, about Elliot. I could buy Elliot for my grandchild's birthdays coming up. So you want to do that. In your case, Dan, a thriller. A thriller that people might like. It's a perfect time to buy a gift. Yeah. So you must start a mailing list.
Okay. I was.
Thank you.
I was fortunate enough to be invited to a ladies' book club in a neighborhood, and I was the only guy there. Oh no, there was one other guy, but they invited me. Just wanted to hear about what I did, and that spread out a little bit.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I'm wondering,
but
if
you didn't. I bet you didn't take their mailing.
I didn't.
You
but
didn't.
But I'm going. I know who they are.
So. Okay. From now on, this is your goal.
Mailing list. I was going to ask. Do you think that the groups like Sertoma, these fraternal organizations, all over, they like a guest to come once in a while.
Every place you can find to speak, speak. Get wild about becoming a speaker.
Good.
Because that's the way you promote your books. And I want to thank you both for being on today. It's been absolutely wonderful. Dan, as soon as you have a web page, you tell me and I'll advertise it. Sue, repeat your web page again.
It's elliottshorsetails.com. Elliot has two T's, and tails is T-A-I-L-S.
Okay. Well, everybody, both of these books are, well, both of the authors are great. Sue's books are absolutely fantastic, and I love her plush animals. And again, you're going to be there at the hospital on Thursday, which is a wonderful, wonderful
thing.
Thank
you.
I'm very, very happy about that. And Dan, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been really great.
Thank you for having me. You're great.
Well, I'm enjoying this. And as I said, I just love to help authors who are just starting off, because you never know where it can lead you.
Right.
It can lead to amazing things. People start off small and it expands. Something takes off. You never know. Like with Carol J. Perry, who we just did the book buzz, I really believe that someday Hallmark Channel will pick her up and she will have a series. Because when I started this program almost 5 years ago, she only had one book out. And now she's got so many books and more contracts coming her way for her Witch City Mysteries, which are absolutely delightful. She never imagined, I think, that she would get so big. And you can all get big. So, because remember, one of the joys of life, really, is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book. Oh, wow, I'd love to hear yours read to children. You never know. But you won't know unless you start, because then if you start, you might hear those absolutely, you know, wonderful magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a movie, like Dan's book. Really, it reads like a movie. It would make a wonderful movie. And one of the things I'll put him down. I'll put his book on my Patsy's Picks for Flicks, because I have a special list of the authors whose books I feel really should be on streaming video, because they need product. And one of the problems is that, I don't know, everything is so ordinary. And so I spend half my time looking, you know, just sort of going through the menu and not finding anything that I want to watch. But with you guys, whew, you never know. And I'm just very grateful that you were in today.
Oh, thank you.
And we're very grateful that you invited us.
Okay, thank you. And make sure everybody come back on Thursday, the day before Valentine's Day, because I'm going to have L.L. Barkhat, Jim Lamb, and Kim Dower, and they're going to be reading their poetry right here on Joy on Paper, because they certainly, those three, have found the joy of writing poetry, and they love it, and they, in so few words, they can say so much, so it's really a thrill. Meanwhile, say something nice to somebody today, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Big Ed, thank you so much. You are a joy, Ed, an absolute joy. And he's saluting me, and I'm saluting him. Bye-bye now.